the Australian artist Ken Doan once said that his aim as an artist was to recover the ability to paint the way he did when he was 5 years old. Lots of people who didn't like his art replied cynically that he was well on the way. But whether you like his art or not, I think Ken Doan was onto something. And I suspect that Jesus might have nodded and smiled affirmingly at his comment, because Jesus himself said that unless we change and become like children, we will never enter the kingdom of God. Now, these words of Jesus were not in our readings for tonight, but I want to take them as a way of exploring some issues from a couple of the readings that we did have. You see, when I've finished preaching, we're going to gather around our children and pray for God's blessings on them as they return to school for the new year. And it strikes me that reflecting on children and how they learn and what we learn from them might be a quite enlightening way of thinking about both the Beatitudes from Jesus' great sermon and the Apostle Paul's words about God valuing things which seem foolish and powerless and weak and little in the eyes of the world. I've been reflecting quite a lot in the last few years on the way that children learn and grow and what it tells us about ourselves as former children. I've noticed that lots of the things that often frustrate us about children and their behaviour are the things that we have forgotten that we had to learn. And so we can't understand that they don't just get it. For example, body awareness. We grown-ups tend to think that you just know where your various body parts are and what they're doing. But you don't. There was a glass of water knocked over there before by someone who was entirely unaware that they had even knocked it over until there was a rush of people cleaning it up. We had to learn where our body parts were. When a young child is focused on doing something with their hands, they've often got no awareness at all that their feet are currently waving in the air and sweeping things off the coffee table. This week, I'm watching a child learn to travel on public transport with a school backpack on. And I'm reminded that once upon a time, I had to learn that if you spin around in a crowd with a backpack on, you can wipe out little old ladies standing behind you. You have to learn these things. We all did. It's just that we've forgotten learning them. The Apostle Paul said that when it comes to judging spiritual things, Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. We ourselves are mostly of the Gentile line, and the mindset of the ancient Greek world continues to be a major influence on the religious climate in which we live. And as Paul says, Greeks desire wisdom. In other words, we tend to be impressed by spiritual and religious claims that seem wise and learned and logically sound and philosophically impressive. But, says Paul, God has chosen not to pander to that desire. The gospel of Christ crucified does not impress anyone as an example of great wisdom and learning. It seems weak and foolish, but it is the wisdom and power of God. Churches sometimes debate the ways that children are included in worship, and one of the common complaints about many of the approaches to including children is that it dumbs down worship in order to bring it down to their level. Now, I've been known to make that criticism myself, and I don't think it's actually a charge that would fairly be levelled at the approach that we've taken, although some people might have said otherwise on occasions. But I do think that the apostle might be cautioning us for the attitude beneath such a charge, whether we were leveling at our own approaches or at those we encounter elsewhere. What is it that the fear of dumbing down is really afraid of? Are we perhaps really afraid of the weakness and foolishness of the gospel? I'm reminded of Frederick Buechner's comment on worship, that whether it's a Quaker meeting or a pontifical high mass or the family service at First Presbyterian or a holy roller happening, unless there is an element of joy and foolishness in the proceedings, the time would be better spent doing something useful. Perhaps it is the exuberant, occasionally chaotic, and often on the outer edge of decorum engagement of children in our worship that most clearly reveals to us how God yearns for all of us to engage in the offering of our thanks and praise. Our congregational covenant commits us to attending to the voice of God in the insights of the stranger, the outcast, the broken, and the little ones. And I think that the Apostle and Jesus would probably both want to remind us that if we are not prepared to expect and seek the voice of God in what the little ones have to say, we're probably not really seeking to attend to the voice of God at all. The Beatitudes from Jesus' great Sermon on the Mount don't talk directly about children, although it's not insignificant that being known as the children of God is one of the rewards described in them. But they do seem to have a fair bit in common with Ken Doan's desire to paint again like a five-year-old and with the Apostles' teaching about the apparent weakness and foolishness of the gospel. The ones who Jesus declares to be blessed, to have got it made, are not the ones who have already got it all together and achieved success and status in the world. It is the ones who know their own poverty and their own cluelessness, the ones who know sadness and grief, those who don't think that they're the centre of the universe, but know their relative insignificance in the scheme of things. And I reckon we can all learn a lot from the children on these things, although not always because children are ahead of adults on them, because on some of them they're often not. In some cases, growing in the Beatitudes is more like becoming like we were when we were children. But in other cases, children are not a good example either, but they can still teach us a lot about growing and learning and being open to being changed. There are beatitudes that we grow out of, and like Ken Doan, Jesus calls us to set our hearts on growing back into them. For example, blessed are those who mourn. Young children rarely feel any need to stifle their grief or sadness. The first sense of loss and they burst into tears and wail. Many of us, though, we're told so often and so forcefully that we shouldn't cry that we grew out of that beatitude so thoroughly that now we are incapable of truly feeling the depth of grief, even when it is the most appropriate and the most healthy thing to be feeling and expressing. But there are other beatitudes that children hardly model at all or only model inconsistently. Blessed are the meek. Now, there is often a meekness about children because it's often forced on them. They are disregarded and treated as insignificant so often that they can hardly consider themselves to be the biggest and most influential people in the world. And yet, there is often the complete opposite of meekness in them much of the time too. Not because they are especially sinful, so much as because, like what I said about body awareness, meekness is not something that you just get. The reason our youngest children are quite incapable of restraining their loud expressions of displeasure when they miss out on the coloured pencil that they wanted is because at their present developmental stage, they are incapable of noticing that they're not the centre of the universe and that other people's needs might rightly be given precedence over their own at any given moment. A newborn can barely see beyond the length of their arm. Their awareness of the world is literally only this big. There's a long journey of learning from that to blessed are the meek and being able to choose to deny my own desires in order to make space for others to shine and achieve their goals. But when we watch that journey of learning taking place in the children among us, the voice of God is calling us to attend and to respond. God is calling us to remember that this is a journey that we need to still be undertaking. The Beatitudes are one of the passages of Scripture that is most often reduced to sentimental greeting card verse and completely ignored as a manifesto for living. And this is precisely because we're so reluctant to grow into these attitudes. We hunger for the supposed fruits of adulthood: strength, power, achievement, status. But Jesus is calling us to take a lesson from our children in being open to learning and growth and change. Eugene Peterson has written a wonderful book for the parents of teenagers called Like Dew Your Youth. And it's not a book of hints and tips on getting teenagers to grow up right. Rather, it's a book about growing up yourself and allowing the experience of parenting restlessly growing teens to teach you about yourself and about your own need to grow more fully into the image of God. Peterson's main point is that most adults wrongly think that they're done with growing and learning, but that God sends them children and teenagers to show them what growing is all about and to challenge them to engage in that journey again. It's a book that I'm very thankful for as I enter that stage of my life. But the attitude that it encourages is not for parents alone. It is for all of us. If we want to progress in the schools of human maturity and discipleship, and if we want to continue to grow and mature into the people that God has created us to be and called us to be, then we would do well to watch and listen and learn from those among us for whom schooling and learning and growing are unavoidable realities. Blessed are those who know they have lots to learn. And blessed are those who have the humility and courage to be schooled in the ways of growing, even by the least and the littlest. Amen. Amen.